chapter 6 as we continue our look through our Lord's Prayer. We've been making the point that this isn't a prayer that we're supposed to memorize and recite, but it is a pattern of prayer. Jesus is telling us here, this is how you ought to pray, not the exact words you ought to always pray. In fact, look with me here, Matthew 6, picking up in verse 9. Pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We've been spending time in this prayer. We'll continue to walk through it. Again, not to memorize it and try to, every time we pray, say these things. But this is the pattern. There's some elements in here. In fact, my prayer is that through this series of messages, we wouldn't just go through the series of messages and say, that was enjoyable. But that we would be forever different because of what we encounter in Jesus' words here about how to pray. That you and I will be men and women of prayer to a greater degree, much greater degree, until Jesus calls us home. So that's the goal, that's the vision behind us going through this. Jesus tells us we are to pray, and not everything that's called prayer is prayer by Jesus' definition. You know, you can pray and pray to the wrong one. Sometimes in our grief, we lose somebody, and we can get unbiblical in those moments if we're not careful. We can think, okay, now I've got somebody on the other side, and I can talk to them, and I can ask them to help me. That's not prayer. We never find that in the Scripture, that I've got a little angel I can pray to. Look out for us now. No, no. Jesus says, when you pray, pray to the one. There's only one God, and you're our Father. You've adopted us through our faith in your Son, and we're in your family, and so I'm coming to you, my Father. Jesus tells us that we're to pray about his name. Remember that last week? Hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Lord, your name is precious. It represents you and your character, and your name is to be set apart, and may you be glorified in me and in the nations. And so even praying hallowed be your name lays your whole heart on the line and gets you swept up into the Great Commission. And then we come to this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about this. Here Jesus said, this is how you ought to pray. These are the things you talk about with God. And most of the time, when we hear about prayer, we skip these things. We go straight into daily bread, which is important. Jesus puts it in here. We're going to get to that next week. Not wrong. It's not unspiritual to pray for what you need. But a lot of praying, no concern for the name of God and his glory. It's not a part of our prayer lives. And no concern about the kingdom of God and what God's up to. Just give me what I need. And, okay, yes, forgive me, because we're going to come to forgive us our debts. But even then, but I'm not so worried about my forgiveness of other people. A lot of stuff skipped. We say, I know the Lord's Prayer. I know you do, and so do I. But boy, isn't it good to back up, slow down here, wait a second. What is Jesus calling me into? I think if we do put into practice what Jesus taught us here, we're going to love being in the presence of God more than we have up to this point. Notice this, though. Your kingdom come. God's kingdom should be on our minds when we pray. It's a declaration right out of the gate when we come to his presence. It's not about me. What I'm going to talk to you about, I got a lot of concerns. I've got a lot of needs. I've got a lot of brokenness, Lord, I'm about to bring to you. But ultimately, it's about your name and your glory. And ultimately, it's about your kingdom. It's a wonderful way to begin talking to him. God, I'm tempted to, but I'm not going to, because it's about your kingdom. I'm not just going to ask you to bless me and bless my plans that I already have regardless of you. No. There's a kingdom here, and you are the one. So notice, first of all, as we consider, what does it mean when Jesus says we're to be praying with the kingdom in view? What's he talking about? Well, a couple of things here. First of all, it's a plea for God's kingdom to come in all of its fullness. The Bible speaks a lot about a kingdom. And whenever you know there's a kingdom, you know there is a king, and it is the Lord himself. And one of the things we find out about the kingdom, that the kingdom is a present reality. The kingdom of God is a present reality going on now in the hearts and lives of God's people. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it's now, God's already ruling and reigning in the hearts of his people, but also it's a forever kingdom. Listen to these verses from Psalm 145, 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Daniel had the same idea, Daniel 4, 3. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And so we should live our lives aware of God's kingdom. And it ought to be a big part of how we pray, Jesus said. But notice there's a future dimension to this. Yes, it's a present reality. We're going to talk about that again in a moment. But here in view first, you notice there's a tense here that's telling me that I'm praying about the kingdom, about something that I want to come. Your kingdom come. In other words, bring on your kingdom. So God already is sovereign. He's already reigning. He's already bringing the world to a predetermined outcome. Aren't you glad? He said, how do you know that? Because the prophetic word of the Bible, the book of Revelation, tells us how this all will be culminated. And that will not be thwarted. God will bring it to that conclusion, and Christ will reign. So God is sovereign. He's working it out. And we're praying, Lord, I want that to take place. Everything that you said is coming, make that happen. Listen, if you're watching the news, it's not hard to pray that way. I find myself increasingly watching this, not despairing, not ready to check out, not becoming passive, but man, there's a lot of ugliness out there, right? Always has been. But there are particular things going on in the world that you watch and you say, your kingdom come. You know, the final prayer in all the Bible, same idea as this in Revelation 22, 20, come, Lord Jesus. Have you been praying that in these days? You see these big, ugly, sad things, and you just long for what Jesus says we ought to long for. Come, Lord Jesus. Everything about what you're going to do is going to be great. Jesus, when you come, you're going to turn the world right side up at last. As it was in the garden before the fall, you're going to restore things. And oh, how wonderful that would be. You're watching the news, you see things like what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and I don't want to get into all the ins and outs of all that. It's just sad though, right? Just whole thing sad from whatever angle you choose to look at. It's just sad. But think about it. When Christ comes in his future kingdom, in the fullness of his reign, there'll be no longer any fear of corruption, and there'll no longer be any racial fears. Let's think about what Jesus has promised. There's coming a time when people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, every ethnic group, whatever your race, gathered around the throne, giving worship to the Lord. When he's coming, all that tension will be gone, and there'll be no confusion. It'll all be cleared up when he comes. Consider with me what the Lord will sweep away when he comes in the fullness of his kingdom that we're longing for. He's going to sweep away every cruel dictator in the world. All those kingdoms will be toppled. Every corrupt regime gone when Jesus reigns in the fullness of his kingdom. Think about what's going on in Iraq and Syria, so Al-Qaeda or the Islamic State, ISIS, whatever you want to call them. In fact, the UN says even today that there's an area where they fear 22,000 people could be massacred at any time. So I cry out, come Lord Jesus, right? And when Jesus comes in the fullness of his kingdom, we won't have that. Don't you long for Jesus to set the world right side up? And so we pray, your kingdom come. Your kingdom's better. I don't want anything else here besides what you have. So my hope, Lord, is in you. Are you praying about the kingdom? Is that a part of your prayer life? Or do you just race down to, I got this thing I need. I got this thing I want. Your kingdom come. It's my hope. It's what drives me, knowing that you could come. Oh, and wouldn't you join me in asking, hey, Jesus, it'd be all right with me if today's the day. It's okay if it's not. Every generation of Christians has been hoping it's today. I'm willing to hang in there. Lord, I want to have a hope-filled faith, but also a rugged faith. Whatever comes, I'm going to walk with you in joy. So praying this way means, Lord, I'm setting my hope on the culmination of your kingdom when Christ returns. But also, notice, if we begin to pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it also clarifies our purpose, doesn't it? You can't pray that with sincerity if you don't also understand, wow, this also lines up the rest of my life. If I'm longing for his kingdom above all else, his future culmination, but the present reality of the kingdom, then I realize that my life needs to be about the things of God. I need to align myself with God's purpose here and now. So the idea is not that you and I are going to be passive and just go, wow, what can we do? We're just going to wait for Jesus to come because we can't do anything. No, we're to be a part of advancing the present reality of the kingdom of God until Jesus comes. Now listen, when he comes, here's the good news. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But until then, we find that we're to be a part of evangelism. And we're to be part of missions, that we might extend his kingdom, that we might help be a part of people leaving the domain of darkness and coming into the kingdom of God. In fact, one of my favorite verses here is Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Now you heard me choke up a little bit today. That's what got me started. We're out here singing about what Jesus has done for us. And I mean, I went back to my own testimony, 16, almost 17. And just for a moment, I got a glimpse of what I would have become had Jesus not saved me and how he did rescue me, set my feet on solid ground. I just thought about that and just overcome in those moments. Well, I got to pull it together. I got to talk in a minute, you know. But what good news, right? We've been saved and we've been put on this new path. And so what triggers in us when we're saying, Lord, I want your kingdom to come. Yes, in the future in its fullness, that's going to be the best of all. But even now, I've got neighbors that need you. They know nothing of your grace and mercy and what you can do to restore a home. They don't know that. They're on the path I would have been on had you not rescued me. And so, Lord, I want to be a part of advancing your kingdom into their heart, into their home. And so praying this way sweeps us up once again into the Great Commission. Hallowed be your name leads us into wanting to be a part of other people knowing him and giving him the praise he's due. And even, wow, especially your kingdom come, your will be done. We gladly pray that. Lord, heart by heart, advance your kingdom. Home by home, advance your kingdom until you bring it in fullness. Here's a question for you. Not just do you ask about these things in your time with God, but is your life aligned with the kingdom purposes of God? Just ask, you know, how you use your time, maybe it's one of the indicators. How you use your time, is there a reflection in how you use your hours that shows that you're a kingdom-minded Christian? Or are you spending, consuming all kinds of discretionary time in things that are really more about your kingdom? Or maybe even your money, you know, how do you use your money? Does that reflect, yeah, you have some kingdom values? Listen, we're here in this time in our church year. We're thinking about next year. There's lots of excitement. I'm really thrilled about what's coming up in just a couple weeks as we launch a lot of new things, new life group things Mike talked about earlier before our service. But here's the time of year when we're reminded everybody needs to be kingdom focused, don't we? I mean, it's how God designed it. Some of the metaphors of the Bible, we're a body and every part. Every one of us is a part of the body, and the body doesn't function well unless everybody's got their part. Well, here's the same idea. We're all to be consumed with the kingdom of God and his purposes and aligning our lives with that. And here's an opportunity we're presenting. We need a lot of people, kingdom-minded, serving in so many ways. You see that insert in there. So many needs among our children and preteens. What exciting work. I'm sure a number of us are like, I'd love to clone myself. I'm already doing these things in the kingdom. I'd love to be able to do that too. But rather than cloning, that's not God's design, that everybody's stepping up and taking joyful part in advancing the kingdom, even among our own young people. The nominating people will be out in the foyer. You can step out there as well and see what the needs. I mean, these guys in the AV booth, we overwork these guys, and we need some other people who are willing to be trained even to help out there. Just so many ways. But listen, it all comes from this kingdom perspective. Well, there's a third way that we ought to look at this as we're saying to the Lord, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only this future hope, and not only this present alignment with the advancement of the kingdom of God through missions and evangelism and service, but also, this is a prayer of submission, isn't it? If you pray this way, it's a regular part of how you enter into God's presence, and among the things you're talking about is his kingdom, it will clarify the leadership issue in your life, won't it? If you're thinking about what you're praying, and you say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. It's an invitation to God to change everything about you. You want to think carefully if you're not willing to do that. Because what you're saying is, God, I want your kingdom to dominate my life. It does clarify the leadership issue. Let me just ask you, who is the leader of your life? It's a good time to evaluate that. Who's the leader of life? Is it you? It's me. I call the shots. It's my show. I've already determined my outcome for my life. I've got my dream, and it's about me. You can't have that perspective and pray with sincerity. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not. I've given up control. Somebody else is dominating me. I wish it weren't so, but other people dominate me. Maybe some of our young people. I've let the crowd dictate who I'm going to be and what I'm going to have and what my values are. I've let them set the direction for my life. And you realize, when I even pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, I have got to set aside the friends if that's what they're wanting. Somebody might say, listen, it's not me and it's not my friends. There's total anarchy in my life. Nobody's in charge of my life, and it scared me to death. You know, say, man, I made some bad decisions long ago, and I can't get out from under them. I'm addicted to some stuff. I'm not free, and I can't say I'm in charge, and I can't see anybody else's. I need that bottle. I need that pill, or I've got this habit I can't break. I've tried. I want to follow Jesus, but I'm stuck. And listen, we want to help you with that, too. A lot of people have been stuck like that, and that's why we're starting this Celebrate Recovery ministry coming up in a couple of weeks here. It's in your bulletin. Look at that. Maybe for you. Not a place where you're going to be condemned and, wow, I didn't realize you were that messed up. That's not the kind of group it is. No. I'm not even calling it anything anonymous because there's nothing to be ashamed of, that you want help and you want to be free to follow Christ. This is a place to celebrate that. And so, man, make use of that if I just described you, or tell a friend about that. Listen, who should be the leader of your life? It is the Lord. He is the King. So praying this way that Jesus had to pray acknowledges that there's another kingdom beyond your own. In fact, everything Jesus has been saying is that there is but one leader has that rightful place in your life. It is God. At first he says, it's our Father. Even by saying that, he's applying, there's your leader, you're not the leader. But he's not just your Father, he's also the Lord. So the idea comes into view here that there is warmth with him. There is acceptance. He welcomes me and wants me in, but he's also the Lord, and that means there's authority in my life. And what we should do is cheerfully submit to his authority. If we're thinking clearly, we'll do that, right? Hey, imagine this. You're in a restaurant at lunch after church, and there you are, and somebody at your table begins to choke. Sad, right? But you've watched TV. You know what to do. There's something called a Heimlich maneuver. And so you think, I'm gonna do the Heimlich maneuver. So you charge around the table and you grab your friend and you begin to do that. When a doctor, still in his lab coat, taking his lunch break, he taps you on the shoulder, I'm a doctor. What would you do in that moment? Would you say, I got this. Thank you, but no thanks. I'm running this rescue. This is mine. I want the glory from this. No. If you're thinking, I'm yielding to the guy in the lab coat, you take over, right? Hey, how about another analogy? You say, I'm not so much about that. What if you're playing pickup football this afternoon, playing some football with some guys, and you're under center there, you say, I'm quarterback, and there's another quarterback on the team, I'm quarterback, and you're under center, and taps on your shoulder, Peyton Manning. What are you going to do, wave him off? I got this. Listen, if you don't wisely step aside, your team is going to demand you step aside. There's somebody better qualified to lead our team than you, dude. Get out of the way. This is where we are when we think about, Lord, your will be done. Your kingdom is to come. That's what my consuming, that settles the leadership issue of your life. I'm not the one most qualified to lead my life. It's God himself, my Father. He's the King of this kingdom. And I cheerfully, gladly step aside, if I'm thinking clearly, and let him lead. This is what's going on. Ought to, when you're praying this, you can't pray it and mean it. You're just reciting words. Somebody taught you, that kingdom come, that will be done. You're not thinking. If you're not also laying your whole life on the line, I want you to take over. How much of your praying is about your own kingdom versus his kingdom? You know, if we're not careful, we'll pray things like this. Lord, bless my dreams, bless my plans. Give me good health, give me abundant provision so I can set out and do my own thing for my glory. We might not put it in those words and be that honest, but that's much of our praying. Make me rich, make me famous, make me comfortable. Lord, make me comfortable so that I can go about living my life according to my will. Let me ask a question. Why would God do that? What would motivate a God who's the King of the kingdom, who loves you more than you love yourself? Why would he want to bless you so that you can go on living your life essentially without him? Jesus is teaching us to start out in his presence, giving God his due, giving praise to him, getting our life in perspective, and we'll find our greatest joy in aligning ourselves with him in his rightful place. So what happens is when we pray this way, that we have this radical reorientation of a life. You're the Lord of all. You're the decision maker. I surrender to your authority in my life. But also it comes out in very practical ways in your day. So As a part of your day, sometime in your day, you're thinking, Lord, I do. I want to think about your kingdom and your purpose. I'm aligning myself with you. What you're saying is this, Lord, what do you want today? I got some ideas. You know, Lord, I'm no short of ideas and things I'd like to see, but I willingly, consciously set that down. And the ultimate question in my heart today, Lord, is what do you want? What is your will? Not in the grand scheme of things only, but what do you want in my life today? What's your will for me today? What's your purpose? Some of you already live this way, many of you. And you know that joy of being in that place where everything that you can think of in your life is already under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I know a lot of you in here like that. And as I talk about it, you're like, in your heart, you're going, ah. Because you know it wasn't always that way in your life. Through whatever God used, he got you to a place where you got to that place where you can say, I'm all in. I'm not perfect, I still fail, but whenever I fail, I know what the default position ought to be. I go back to all in. Lord, forgive me, what an idiot I was. I'm so sorry for thinking that, saying that, doing that. Forgive me, please, and I'm back to all in. Everything under your lordship. I've surrendered everything. There's no peace like that. And some of you around the room could testify, I got that peace. Everything's in. Everything's in. I can't think of a single area of life where I'm consciously not giving it over to Christ. May have a blind spot, the Lord's got to show me, but everything I know. Man, celebrate that. You're living a kingdom-centered life when you're all in. Some of you, though, as I described that, you say, I don't have such a peace. I know nothing of that joy. I didn't even know anybody could really aspire to that. I mean, I go to church. What else would God want? He wants everything. You read this book over and over again, your Lord wants everything. And some of you are going, I know. I can think of 2, 3, 4 areas of my life that I know are not under his lordship. I've been fighting him in these areas. And that's why you have little peace. That's why you have little joy in your life. Maybe it's a relationship with the opposite sex. Somebody that you're relating to and you're crossing some lines and you've been trying to justify that, but you know when you're thinking clearly, this relationship is not under the leadership of Christ. God's will is not being done in this relationship. You need to turn from that and put that under the lordship of Christ. Maybe it's your entertainment. You're thinking, man, what am I filling my head with? I know I've been trying to follow God 90%, but I'm coming over here to this area. Or maybe it's your attitudes and emotions. You've chosen to be bitter. I'm bitter. I won't forgive that person. I'm going to give them the silent treatment. If I see them in the hallway, I won't even look in their direction. I'm going to be sort of committed to Christ. There's no peace there. There's no joy there. We're going to talk about forgiveness coming up. It's a part of the Lord's Prayer. Your language, or again, your money even. Well, I'm going to be faithful in every way, but I'm going to control my money. Listen, that's a huge area of life that you're not putting under the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's just my money. That's, you know how much your life revolves around making money and making decisions about your money? Here's just a quick question. If you were to go to your bank statement online today and just kind of look at where you spend your money, would you find any indicator that you are kingdom-focused in your life just by how you spend? Or the person who prepares your taxes, you know, they see where your charitable contributions go. And if they looked at that number and what you do based on your income and your circumstances, would they go, wow, that's a kingdom-focused person. They're really giving away a lot more than my other clients due to their commitment to the kingdom. Somebody might ask, well, what is God's will? If I'm going to align myself with God's will, what is it? Real quickly, some of the things that you want to think about first is, first of all, salvation. What does God want for me? Oh, he wants you to turn from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the beginning point. He wants to adopt you as his child, but you've got to lay down your life. Lord, I want to lay down my life. I want to take up you. What else is going to happen? What do I do after I trust him? Well, you want to then worship him and pray to him. That's why we're talking about this. Also, he's going to lead you in a walk of what we sometimes call sanctification. In other words, I'm going to grow in him as I follow him in his spirit to become more like Christ. I want to be more obedient. Simply put, as I come to trust in Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's God's will for me. In fact, the scripture is very clear. Luke 9:23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Or how about Galatians 2:20? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I don't live anymore. Christ lives in me. And then Jesus modeled this type of all-in life, didn't he? Not only did he tell us to pray this way, but he modeled it. Listen to this. John 4:34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Is that your heart? Lord, my food is to do your will and not my own. John 5:30, Jesus, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Matthew 26:39, and he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus had a laser-like focus on the purpose of God, and you and I need to have that same sense of purpose when we pray and mean it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven. I can do nothing on my own initiative, Lord. I can only do what you want me to do. I don't seek my own will, but I seek your will. You're the one who sent me here. Are you regularly affirming through your times with God, you're the leader, and I'm all in, and I want to follow you? So what have we seen today? We've seen this, and when I pray your kingdom come, it's a statement of confident hope. My hope is in what you're going to bring. Not only that, it's a statement of clear purpose. Lord, I want to align myself with your will and your kingdom advancement on the earth. And it's also a statement of cheerful submission. You are the leader. I gladly get out of the leadership post, and I want to follow after you. Let's pray together. Lord, in these moments, that's what we want to affirm. Our confident hope in you, the clear purpose you've laid out for us, and our cheerful submission to your lordship and leadership. Nobody loves us like you. Nobody is flawless like you. You are a much better leader. We submit to you. Lord, this week, as we spend time with you in your word and in prayer, please, Lord, meet us there in a way that we know you're there. I pray that you'll keep us motivated to just dwell with you, to draw strength and wisdom from you. And while in your presence, that you would do that work of us dethroning ourselves and anybody else and letting you take up your rightful place as King and Lord. Lord, we look forward to the beautiful things you're going to do as we keep ourselves in that position in your presence at all times. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.